Thank you, Father, as we sung just a little bit ago, that what you have done on the cross through our Savior Jesus Christ is done. It is finished. No more debt do we owe. Our sin has been paid in full. It is all sufficient in Christ. No merit of our own. His merit is now ours. You have rescued us not because of works done by us, not even our best works, but by your own mercy and grace through Christ our Lord, and through the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you willingly laid down your life for your Father's glory first and foremost, but gave your life for us to redeem us. Lord, as we turn our focus now on Isaiah 53, remind us of our need for you once again and show us your glorious grace. Give us great humility as we hear from you. And Lord, give me a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as we further think about your gospel truths in your word. In Christ's holy name, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. If you are able to, stand with me for the reading of God's word. If you're not, that's fine. Just remain seated. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, starting in chapter 52, verse 13. Reading all the way to the end of Isaiah 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted, as many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is God's word. You can be seated. Good Friday is a time for us to reflect on what God has gloriously done through Christ and his atonement for our sin. It's good to reflect on these gospel truths daily and humbly with thankfulness to God, but especially this evening. The prophet Isaiah penned these beautiful words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, 700 years before Jesus Christ, in the flesh, fully God, fully man, entered into our sinful mess. 700 years. These precious words give us a vivid description of what he suffered and why he suffered. And the New Testament authors, as we're going to see here in a little bit, of the Bible referred to it often or alluded to this passage often. So this evening, I really just want to briefly point out some observations of this beautiful and prophetic passage as we reflect on the cross. And I'll do so in 45 minutes. Just kidding. It's going to be a lot less than that. The first observation is this. Again, this is not a sermon. It's not even a, it might even be a sermonette. It might be. But as I was preparing this, I felt like it was just kind of my own reflections on the cross and meditations on it. And so here you go. Observation number one, we are all sinners in desperate need of the grace of God. We sang that just with all those songs. That's what we sang, right? Listen to, once again, the prophet Isaiah, a section of it. Verses 3 through 6. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you notice all the emphasis on the plural form of the we, the ours, everyone? We esteemed him not. Jesus bore our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, not his. And then Isaiah makes this statement that in some ways could just stop us dead in our tracks before we move on. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now, this is the first half of the verse, and we'll come back to the second half in just a bit. But the first part is focused on our condition that we are all born into in this world. Our default mode is to wander, to go astray, to live life how we want to live it, to be rulers over our own little dinky kingdoms, to be the boss of our lives. We think we know the right way, but Proverbs 16:25 says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, to people, but its end is the way to death. There's no way that we can clean ourselves up to earn God's favor. We can try to improve ourselves. Maybe go to Barnes & Noble and read all the self-help books that we can possibly get our hands on. And we'll make some improvements here and there. But apart from God's grace, we remain unclean. Because our uncleanness is not outside of us, it's inside of us. Isaiah 64:6, and this was already shared, but listen to it again. We have all become like one who is unclean. It's the prophet Isaiah. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. What a word picture. No one does good. We cannot meet God's righteous requirement. Romans 3:10 says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And then Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, that just makes us all level at the cross, doesn't it? Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, us, and why? Again, because all sinned. There's no escaping it. This is the bad news of the gospel. Absolutely no one can live up to the moral, righteous standards that God requires. No one can live up to a holy God on their own. There's no amount of good works that will ever outweigh the bad ones. our moral resumes, our polluted garments, is what God's word says. They're polluted garments before the holiness and righteousness of our God. And it's because of our rebellion that we deserve death and eternal separation from Him in hell. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. But God knew that the only one who could save us from his wrath and our sin was God himself. And that is why he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. God is perfectly just, and sin must be punished. But he is also perfectly loving that he sent his son into this world to be our substitute. Well, if you're here today and you have never expressed your need for God, or never saw it until now, maybe, I don't know. Let me just say that we're so thankful that you are here this evening. What better time to join us? And let me encourage you, though, to repent. If you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit that your works are like a polluted garment, turn away from what you think gives you life and turn towards the living God. Have you trusted in Christ? He bore the punishment that you justly deserved. The second observation that I want to point out is that Jesus himself bore the punishment for our sin that we justly deserved. Look with me again at Isaiah 53:5. Now the emphasis is on what God has done through his son. Same verses, right? Look with me there. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. The Apostle John picks this up, but he's really quoting Zechariah here. But there again are allusions to Isaiah 53, John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. Why would he do that? It was an indication that he officially had died. And in Mark 15:24-25, it says, and they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And It was the third hour when they crucified him. Isaiah says in verse 5, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. The Apostle Paul picks up on this idea of peace that Christ has brought us. Colossians 1:20 says, and through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the what? Blood of his cross. And then Peter echoes Isaiah in 1 Peter 2:24 that we just meditated on and prayed through and thought about. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. See, Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could turn back to our sin, but that we would run to him when we sin and live for him and not ourselves. And then God himself, the Lord, Yahweh, verse 6 says, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Boy, this is good news, isn't it? I mean, every failure that you could think about, every sin, your biggest, our biggest, our deepest, our darkest sin, present, as well as the past, as well as the future, have all been nailed to the cross. The Apostle Paul helps us understand what this looks like in Colossians 2, 13 through 14. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. How? Verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Once again, the Apostle Peter echoes this thought of Jesus not opening his mouth to defend himself, but instead he gave himself up willingly. 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Think about this, church, guests. Every mockery that was happening towards him, people that were telling him, come down off the cross if you say that you're the Christ and save yourself. But Jesus willingly stayed up on the cross. Why? He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The third and final observation is this. It was the will of God to sacrifice his son and to make many righteous. Look with me in Isaiah 53, 10 through 12. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. This is another one of those verses where we should be stopped in our tracks. We should be like a deer caught in headlights. What? He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. The Apostle Paul says it this way: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. By what? Becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Yet, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Jesus himself knew this was his Father's plan. Do you remember this? And it was not at all easy for him. Some might say, well, he's God. But he was also fully human. He wrestled in prayer on the Mount of Olives hours before his arrest. He agonized over his impending death, knowing that he would suffer brutally, but also knowing that he would suffer spiritually, taking on the full brunt of God's wrath. He agonized over this to the point where he sweated drops of blood. And God sent his messenger, an angel, to strengthen him and give him the endurance that he needed. Luke 22, 41 through 44. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing. And he didn't just pray it once. He didn't just pray it twice. He prayed it over and over again. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You have to ask yourself, why? Why would Jesus agonize in prayer? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then Hebrews 4:15 through 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Church, Jesus poured out his soul to death to redeem us from the bondage of our sin. But he did not stay dead. And if you want to hear the rest of the story, come back on Sunday. Pray with me. Lord, as we close with these beautiful songs, these hymns of reflecting on what you have done for us on the cross, Lord, may we experience, if we haven't already, that the darkness and the glory of the cross. Quiet our hearts, lift our voices, and may we exalt the name of Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope you were blessed in meditating and thinking about what Christ has done for us, but also by his Spirit, what he continues to do. If you have any questions about this, please, I'd be more than willing to talk with you about it or any of the elders here. Let's end with a benediction from Jude, verses 24 and 25. And if you feel comfortable putting out your hands, you're welcome to do that. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, be majesty, be dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Love you, church. You're dismissed.